Hello and welcome to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. Today, are you an optimist or a pessimist when it comes to whether you think you're going to benefit or be harmed by a test or treatment? If you're exercising to maintain a flat tummy, which activity is best? Strength training or aerobic exercise? The answer isn't necessarily what you'd expect and is different from the best exercise for weight loss. And a remarkable study which has found there isn't a single test which can tell you what age you are. The researchers started from the premise that what we've thought of as the inevitable consequences of ageing haven't much to do with ageing at all, but are the result of deterioration due to physical inactivity. Steve Harridge is Professor of Human Physiology at King's College London.
Yes, that was exactly the premise behind the study. We know that physical activity is absolutely crucial to your whole body physiology and to health throughout the lifespan. And if you're physically inactive, that's bad for you at any age. So if we're trying to assume that changes in the body are occurring as a result of the aging process, and we want to study the biology of that, who do we study? And our premise was that to study the underlying aging signal, what we had to do is study people who weren't contaminated by the other factors which are bad for your physiology and bad for your health.
In other words, how do you remove inactivity from the equation to see what truly is aging?
Exactly. You've got, obviously, smoking, maybe drinking, poor nutrition, but physical inactivity is the one thing that gets left out of a lot of studies of ageing. So what we were trying to do with this study is remove that inactivity component. So if we study people of different ages and we see differences in their function, but they're all very active, undertaking the same type of activity, undertaking a lot of physical activity, then the effect we'll be seeing, we hypothesise, would be the underlying ageing process.
Suddenly ageing would become visible.
Exactly.
So you took these cyclists. Tell me about them.
The cyclists were all amateur road cyclists. They had to be able to cycle 100 kilometres in 6.5 hours if you're a male, or 60 kilometres in 5.5 hours if you're a female. The males were training on average about 750 kilometres a month. And the reason we sort of set that was we actually don't know how much exercise do you need to do to be able to just age inherently. So we set a value that was actually rather high, so it would be well above any value.
You wanted to get beyond the statistical noise.
We did. Now, the reason we studied cyclists, and cycling is a great activity. You know, it's low impact. A lot of people are doing it. It really challenges the large muscle masses. It's great for the cardiovascular respiratory system. And particularly, you know, here in the UK, you don't have to cycle very far to realise just how hilly this country is. And they're also doing the same kind of activity.
And all having the same cup of coffee on a Sunday morning in their tight lycra.
Exactly. But they weren't elite athletes, that was the point.
And the age between 55 and nearly 80.
That's right. That age we chose for a variety of reasons, partly because it crosses the boundary of late working life through to sort of retirement. And obviously that's becoming more and more important. We need to know more about how the body ages as the working population is having to work for longer and to be healthier for longer.
And what did you measure? You measured a whole series of things to see whether or not there was a test which picked up this ageing signal. What did you measure?
One of the sort of sub-questions of the study is what could we measure that would actually predict the age of an individual once we'd actually got rid of the noise of inactivity?
Was there a test which would tell you somebody was 55 or another person was 79?
Exactly. We set up about measuring a whole portfolio, a wide range of physiological indices. So they came to our laboratory for 2 days of testing. We measured their exercise capacity in terms of the maximal rate at which they can consume oxygen, which is your VO2 max. It's kind of the gold standard of physical fitness. We measured their balance, their muscle strength, their muscle power, their lung function. We took blood samples to look at various metabolic and hormonal markers. We looked at cognitive function. We performed DEXA scanning to measure bone density and body composition. So a real wide range of measures. And the interesting thing was that whilst some of these parameters correlated with age, in fact, our best predictor of age, although still not a great one, was actually the level of your aerobic fitness, this VO2 max. But even here, the interesting observation was that the range of functional values could actually incorporate a wide age range. So in fact, you could have a value and be 55 years of age or be 75 years of age. So it actually incorporated a large age range, and we found this for many functions.
So even though there was a bit of a decline, it still didn't pick what age you were?
We're not saying that there's not a decline in age with age. Of course, there is. But actually, even these very sort of homogeneous individuals, there's a lot of noise about that signal. So it actually makes it very difficult to pick out the age of an individual. And that's likely related to, you know, genetic differences between people. We know even at a young age, people are very different. So what we really want to do next is remove that genetic effect by studying the same individual over time and measuring each person in 5 years' time so that we can track in a longitudinal fashion the effects of aging. Again, the idea being that if they are still exercising in 5 or 10 years' time, if we see a decline, that decline will be due to the aging process and not due to physical inactivity.
So let's just be clear. On average, the things that you were measuring did decline a bit with age. But where are you finding 79-year-olds who didn't show much decline and were, to all intents and purposes, looked the same as a 55-year-old?
Well, they do in this cross-sectional design. So what we don't know from this, the design of the study, if we took a 55-year-old and measured him when he was 75, would he show no decline? Or are we just looking at the inherent genetic differences between people?
So does physical activity keep you young? Which is really the other part of that question.
It's a good question. Not so much does it keep you young. Our study set out with the idea of looking at the optimal aging effect. In these individuals, we're saying these people are aging optimally. Now, compared to people of the same age who are sedentary, their levels of function are far superior, which by that criteria makes them younger. But that's not to say that they're not aging. They are aging, but these individuals are, we would argue, are aging optimally. But if you're inactive, you're not aging optimally. And therefore, your level of function is going to be worse and make you appear older compared to the active individuals.
Now, you picked physical inactivity as an issue here, almost in an evolutionary sense.
Yeah.
But nutrition is also important here. If you talk to people who train rugby players or football players or hockey players, tennis players, you know, there is some evidence that changing your nutritional state changes, you know, the way your muscles work and the fitness of your body. To what extent did the nutrition vary among these cyclists?
Well, these individuals, we did study and record their nutritional habits, and generally speaking, they're all eating quite healthy diets. I think there's a balance between the nutritional camp and the exercise camp. I suspect both are important, but I think physical inactivity has got in a lower profile than it should have in this whole area of health. I think the key thing is the physical activity. The point being with these individuals, you have to eat well. You're not going to be able to maintain the cycling training loads that these people were doing without eating well. And we know that in many sedentary and frailer older people, they are not eating well, that's for sure. So for overall health, an older person should certainly look to optimize their nutrition, having a well-balanced mixed diet. But that's not enough. That needs to be combined with a physical activity program.
And there's this tantalizing research really from Canada initially, which suggests that, so that there is a theory that these energy-producing elements in cells called mitochondria are part of the aging process. And if you exercise, it almost renews your muscle mitochondria and makes your muscles young again. Did you do muscle biopsies on these people?
We have taken muscle biopsies of these people, and we haven't yet analyzed their mitochondria. We've analyzed some other aspects of their muscles, which are very interesting. That is, one of the key features of aging muscle, at least in sedentary people, is the muscles get smaller, a process known as sarcopenia. And that relates quite closely to a reduction in size, an atrophy of your type 2 muscle fibers. Now, your type 2 muscle fibers are effectively your fast-twitch muscles. Your type 1s are your slow-twitch muscles. And it's the type 2, your fast-twitch muscles, which give you the power. In most aging studies that we see, they report a reduction in the size of your type 2 muscle fibers. We don't see any relationship between age and the size of the type 2 muscle fibers in this study, which again suggests what we're going to be dealing with here is a disuse phenomena when we look at many of the sedentary studies, because in these highly active individuals, they seem to be maintaining their type 2 fiber size, which partly explains why they're able to maintain such good muscle function.
And for those people listening who are allergic to Lycra and Sunday morning in the coffee shop showing off your wares, you still don't really know what the dose is for optimal ageing.
We don't know what the dose is. And whilst we've studied cyclists, the key point is not so much cycling, but being physically active. And interestingly, many of the cyclists had actually been runners earlier in their lives, had found the wear and tear on their knees rather stressful and had moved to a more of a low-impact sport such as cycling. Now, that's not to say that running's not good for you. Going to the gym and lifting weights, particularly if you're looking to build muscle specifically, is probably the best exercise you can do. Interestingly, when we looked, for example, at our bone mineral density of these cyclists, because we studied males as well as females, we had to actually refer some of the females back to their GPs because we diagnosed them as being osteoporotic.
Because they weren't weight-bearing.
Exactly. It's not the optimal type of exercise for your bone because it's really unloading. The bone is just sitting there thinking it's doing nothing. It's ignorant of the fact that the rest of your body is working very hard. So if you're looking to create a program of optimal health, you probably want to include activities that challenge the different systems. So a bit of running is good, a bit of cycling is good, a bit of swimming is good, a bit of going to the gym and lifting some weights is good. You really want to mix it up a bit.
Steve Harridge is Professor of Human Physiology at King's College London.